Let's open up to the Word of God again in Philippians chapter 4, verse 2. We'll read from verses 2 through to 9. And we're reading from God's Word because we believe that it is inspired by Him, that these really are the words of God as He's given them to us, inspired humans to give the words of God. So let's read this together. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who laboured with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things that you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray together once more just to ask God's help in understanding His word. Let's pray together. Father, help us now as we look at your word. Give us understanding through your spirit, helping us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I thought I would take a one-week break from our series in Galatians and I want to speak on the topic of worry, Now, as you know, my normal pattern is simply to go through books of the Bible, but I do think that there is some benefit in sometimes looking at specific topics. It's just a matter of keeping a healthy balance. And so we're looking at a subject which is universal to all of us, which is the subject of worry. Okay, you tend to find when you preach the word that there are certain subjects which seem to connect with a large number of people. You work it out from people's faces, and this I would say is one of them: the problem of worry. It's a universal problem, and it seems to be one which, in particular, is particularly real to us in the age that we live in. Time magazine, even back in 1960, described our age as the age of anxiety. Wayne Mack has said that if the insignia of our forefathers was calloused hands, the insignia of the modern man is a furrowed brow. Worry for many of us is like the air that we breathe. And that's not a good thing. We don't want it to be that way. Now, from my understanding of Scripture, I do believe that there is such a thing as legitimate concern. I don't believe that all worry is wrong. Sometimes something bad might happen and our initial response is worry. It's just a feeling that we get. It's like if you stub your toe and you feel sore. It's not wrong to feel sore. It's just a feeling that we get. But what I would say is that having had that initial experience of worry, having had that initial feeling, we are then responsible to respond to it in the right way. Okay, if you stub your toe and then, having had that feeling, swear or whatever, right, you haven't responded in the right way to that feeling. And the same with worry. Having had that initial experience of worry, we are responsible to respond to it in the right way. And what I want to say to you is that the Bible teaches that as we do respond in the right way, we really can find peace. We can experience an inner felt peace, a peace that is not natural. It's not a peace that comes just through mere psychological technique. It's not a peace that comes from the world. It's a supernatural peace, a peace that comes from God. This is the peace that's described by Paul in Philippians chapter 4. And so if you want to turn there, page 791. Now, I am going to move to a few other passages in the Bible as well, but this is as good a place as any to stay if you just want to stay in one spot. I want you to notice that the peace that is described there in verses 6 and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now notice the kind of peace that Paul is talking about there. He's saying that this is a felt peace, a peace that guards your hearts and your minds. It's a felt peace. And he says that it's a supernatural peace. This peace is the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding, he says. There's something not normal about this peace. It's a supernatural peace. And so as we look at this, I want to put what the Bible has to say here on this subject under three broad headings. Firstly, trust. Trust. If you want to find this supernatural peace, you need to trust. What is involved in this trust? Well, to begin with, what is involved in this is trusting Christ for your salvation. Okay, this is just really, really basic. I just want to say this from the outset so that I don't confuse anybody here. I don't want anybody here to think that they can get this supernatural peace from God without actually being in a right relationship with Him. I just can't. Not the kind of peace that I'm talking about here. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, what it says is, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus," it says. It's through Christ Jesus that this peace comes. This supernatural peace comes through Jesus. The Bible teaches that although God does, in His grace, give some blessings to all people, and He does, okay? He gives all people sunshine. He gives all people there's an amazing world, which you don't need to be a Christian or a non-Christian to experience. Yet, although there are many things that He gives to all people, yet there are other blessings which He has reserved only for those who put their trust in Jesus Christ. You know, the greatest blessings of God are blessings which are experienced by those who have become right with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus has died for their sins, and they've trusted in Him to atone for their sin and to bring them back into relationship with God. And what this passage is saying is that this supernatural peace, this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it's a special blessing that you can find only once you have that restored relationship with God through faith in Christ Jesus alone as your Saviour. And so if we want this peace that surpasses understanding, we have to appreciate that it's only available through Jesus Christ. We need to trust in Christ for our salvation. And so having established that, let me say that for those of you who do know the Lord, this inner peace is available to you. And if you want to experience this peace, it really is important, among other things, that you continue to trust in the Lord. Okay, this is why the the prophet in Isaiah chapter 26 writes, "You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." This is why Paul in Romans chapter 15 writes, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." See, this is a felt peace that comes through believing, through trusting in the Lord. And it's really basic to, that's really basic to dealing with worry. Okay, I probably the majority of us here travel on airplanes, I would imagine. And of course, this can be a situation where people get nervous, can't it? And the level of that worry, okay, it is to some degree related to trust, isn't it? Okay, if you think about an airline like Malaysia Airlines or something like this, many people would feel a greater degree of worry flying on that airline simply because they have had a few plane crashes in the last few years, have they not? And so your level of worry is going to be related to your level of trust, isn't it? And what the Bible teaches is, friends, if your airline through life is overseen and piloted by God himself, if he is your great technician, if he is your great pilot, then you've got reason to trust, don't you? You don't have reason to worry. You can trust him. See, God is someone who is more qualified than anyone else. God is someone who takes everything into account. And so with God, there's every reason to trust him. And so what the Bible teaches is that as you go through the troubles of life, trust in God, okay? Did you hear me say that there? I didn't say that you won't go through troubles in life. I said as you go through the troubles of life, trust in him and believe in him. He knows what he is doing. Yes, perhaps there is some real turbulence. But when it comes to God, we are those who believe that God is ruling all things toward the ultimate good of his people. And we need to be willing to believe that. And so when we are tempted to think, God, did you realize that if this happens and this will happen and this will happen, we need to be willing to stop and think, yes, he does realize that. He does realize that, and he is in control of these things. And he knows what he's doing, and so I must be willing to trust in him. Doesn't mean we don't make responsible decisions, but it does mean that we seek to trust him through these things. Continue to trust in him. And what I want us to appreciate is that continuing to trust in him is a humbling thing. Okay, it's humbling. Continuing to trust in God is going to require you to actively humble yourself. Okay, this is the point that is brought out in 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, perhaps turn there. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. I think it's worth flicking there. If you've got one of the Bibles at the door in your seats, it's page 817. 1 Peter chapter 5. And what we've got is it's a classic verse on dealing with worry, isn't it? And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, we are told there to cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you, him being God. And we realize that that verse is telling us to trust our problems to our Lord, isn't it? It's calling us to trust. But what we don't always appreciate is that this trust is going to involve humbling ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. See, that this is actually the big thing that Peter wants us to do. It's what he's been talking about. If you look, for example, up to the second part of verse 5, just before this verse, we read, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter's encouraging humility here, and it's then that he goes on in verse 6 and he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares on him, for he cares for you. Okay, you see the connection there between verse 5 and verse 6. What it's saying is, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. How are you going to do that? Well, you're going to do that by casting all your cares on him. Now, by the way, some translations, they ruin this connection by just putting it as two sentences. Some have, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and then new idea, cast all your cares on him. But it's not what the original says. The original says casting. And it's really important. Casting all your cares on him. It's connecting the second thought with the thought that went before. It's saying this is how you humble yourself. You humble yourself by casting, is what it's saying. And this seems strange to us. It seems strange to us because when we think of pride, often we think of someone who is all self-confident and jumps into everything, boots and all, as if he is invincible. And there is pride in that. If someone is self-confident, there is a pride there. But what Peter here is saying is, just be aware that there's a different way that pride can also show itself. Because sometimes the way that pride shows itself is in refusing to let God handle things. Okay? Sometimes when we're holding on to worry, okay, when we're holding on to it, and again, I really do realize that some of us by nature are just more inclined to have that initial impulse to worry. I'm not denying that, okay? And again, I'm not saying that all worry is wrong, so don't hear me saying that. But sometimes when we're holding on to worry and we won't let go of it, sometimes it's because we want to keep control. It's because we're hesitant to genuinely put this circumstance into God's hands. And somehow we imagine that if we just worry, we're going to fix it. Doesn't make sense, of course. Jesus said, which of you by worrying can make yourself taller by doing so? Our worrying isn't going to fix anything. But sometimes, subconsciously, we act as if it will. And so a good question for us to ask ourselves when we feel anxious is, what's going on here in my life right now that I wish I could control? Maybe it's the outcome of a health test. Maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's something else. But whatever it is, we need to then be able to take that thing and give it to the Lord and say, Lord, I know that I would really like to be able to control this, but I can't. And I know that you are actually much more competent to look after this than me. So please, God, would you be at work for the good of your people through this? This is what it looks like to trust in God. We need to be a people who trust. And then secondly, we are to be those who approach the Lord. This, of course, I have already just alluded to, but I wanted to flesh it out a little bit more. Approaching the Lord is really important if we are to deal with our worries. But let me say, I'm not just saying this because I'm a minister. I know I'm meant to say that kind of thing. But I honestly do believe that this is important for dealing with our anxieties. What's involved in approaching the Lord? Firstly, worship is involved. If we are to deal with our anxieties, we need to learn to actively cast our eyes toward the Lord. Now, notice what I'm not saying here. What I'm not saying here is that we simply approach God in order to ask him to deal with all of our problems. Okay, yes, that does have a place. That is part of casting all of our cares on God. But what I'm saying is that even apart from that, in fact, even prior to that, we're to approach the Lord simply for the sake of the Lord. In Philippians chapter 4, Paul is dealing with the problem of anxiety. Okay, it might be helpful to head back to Philippians 4 again now. We'll stay here more or less from now on. And in Philippians 4, verses 4 to 6, Paul is giving a series of instructions which help us find this peace of God which surpasses all understanding, as it is described down there in verse 7. And the first instruction that he gives to help you find the peace of God is the instruction that he gives up there in verse 4, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So this is part of what is going to lead us in having that peace of God which passes understanding, described down there in verse 7, rejoice in the Lord. And notice that what is to be our great delight? It's the Lord. Taking joy in him is going to make all the difference if we're to find inner peace. Okay, we read earlier from Psalm 37, and we see this there, don't we? Psalm 37 is a great psalm about not fretting. Three times it tells us not to fret. And in verse 3, it gives us some advice on how to achieve this. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. And then in verse 4, it goes on and gives more advice. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord. Okay, you notice they're the same idea as what you have in Philippians chapter 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord. And the verses around it are talking about exactly the same thing, dealing with worry or fretting. Now, how does this work? How can taking joy in God actually make a difference to something very everyday like worry? Well, I think it really helps because, remember, God is something that we are, it really helps because God is something that if we are a Christian, we simply cannot lose. Okay, delighting ourselves in God is important because God is something which as a Christian, we simply cannot lose. Okay, in anxiety, we are often worried about losing something, aren't we? That is often the case with anxiety. It could be a friend. It could be our reputation. It could be our health. It could be our life. It could be our possessions. It could be our certain hopes that we had. Whatever it might be, worry is often about losing something. And at times like that, it's really stabilizing to be able to focus on something that we can't lose, and that is God himself. And so taking joy in God helps calm us in that sense. Also, the other thing I would say here is that taking joy in God helps us because in the process we are reminded of what God is like. When we worry, it can be very, very easy to forget God's sovereignty, to forget his goodness, to forget his power, and so on. And by coming to God and meditating on him and worshipping him, it just really helps to realign our thinking to the way that it ought to be. Now, that's the way that God helps his people to focus on him in Isaiah 41 when they are very afraid. There God tells his people not to be afraid, and you'll notice the thing God does to help his people not be afraid, what he does is he simply focuses their eyes on him. He says, Isaiah 41, I think it's verse 8, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He just lifts our eyes to him, and it has this calming effect, does it not? When you're feeling worried, the way to deal with that is through worship. Don't let periods of worry drive you away from God. Rather, periods of worry are properly handled as they drive you toward God. Worship the Lord. And then also pray. Obviously, this is part of worshiping God. But in particular, what I'm referring to specifically here is bringing your worries to God. This is what Paul is referring to in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, when he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds." This, of course, as I've mentioned, this is also, of course, as I've mentioned, part of what is involved in that instruction back there in 1 Peter chapter 5, where he tells us to cast all our cares on him, for he cares for us. I read a story once about a guy named Joe. Apparently did this at a human level. It wasn't to do with God, but he did this at a human level. Joe was known to be a worrywart, but one day his friend Bill noticed that everything was different. And so Bill said to him, "What happened? You don't seem like you're worried about things anymore." And Joe said, "No, I'm not. What I did is I paid someone $1,000 a day to do all of my worrying for me." And Bill says, "$1,000 a day? How can you afford that?" And Joe says, "I can't, but he's doing all the worrying for me." And that is basically the idea. But that is basically the idea that we have here. Joe pays someone else to carry his load for him. And okay, the good news for us is that we don't have to pay Jesus to carry our load for us. We just ask him to take our load. We go to him in prayer and lay our load upon him. And this is the second way of dealing with worry. We approach the Lord. Then we come to the third way of dealing with worry, and that is to discipline your mind. Okay, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Paul tells us that we are to meditate. Okay, to work hard to think about that which is good. He says there, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Paul wants us to discipline our minds to think about those things which are true and noble and praiseworthy and so on. And of course, you'll notice in verse 9 where he says this leads. He says there, "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and what? And the God of peace will be with you." Paul is saying, you've seen me doing this and all the hardship that I've had. He was in jail at the time. That's how I've found peace in jail. And so you too follow my example. As you do so, the God of peace will be with you. And so this is part of God's toolkit for finding felt peace, disciplining our minds. And a big part of what's involved there is meditating on things that are good. Okay, you'll notice up there in verse 6 that when Paul talks about being anxious for nothing, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Thanksgiving component, we're disciplining our mind to meditate on what is good, to see in our lives things that God is doing which are cause for thanks. And that is really important when dealing with worry. You know, when you feel like there are a lot of troubles around you, it can get you down, can it not? And your mindset can easily become one of only seeing the difficulties. And so it's really important, if you're going to be able to get your head above that cloud of worry, to be able to see the blessings and the good that God is also doing. Okay, I read a prayer this week, and I thought it was a good example, just this kind of thankful attitude, just in really mundane things. The person writes, even though I clutch my blankets and groan when the alarm rings each morning, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are those who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes tightly closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. There are many who are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and put off the physical effort of rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, toast is burned, tempers are short, thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our table never looks like the pictures in the magazines and the menu is at times unbalanced, thank you, Lord, for the food we have. There are many who are hungry. And it goes on. And the point, of course, is just that in everyday life, when we pause and think, there are still many, many things to be thankful for. And of course, as Christians, more than just these everyday things, as Christians, we have eternal things, don't we? We have the love of God the Father toward us from all eternity and to all of eternity. We have the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin, past, present, and future. We have the Holy Spirit that guides us into good paths. We have the Word of God by which we know God Himself. We have the presence of God that will never leave us. We have eternal life which cannot be taken from us. We have all this and more through our Saviour and Lord. And so when we are able to think about these things, when we are able to remember these things, it puts some of the worries that we experience in their perspective. As Christians, we need to discipline our minds to meditate on things which are true, things which are noble, things which are pure, lovely, and so on. And as we do so, we can look to God to provide us His peace. So these are some of the means that God has given to help us with worry. As I say, God is a God who offers us peace. We can trust Him for salvation, and we can trust Him for everyday life. And so God calls on us to do that. He calls on us to cast all our burdens on Him and to really take joy in who He is. And as we do seek Him out in that way, there is a special peace that He makes available to us. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ.